Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Beautiful Saturday. No longer are we in summer, approaching the holidays. Things are getting colder. Your bodies are changing. Flu season is about here. Some of you have the flu. I know that. I see what happens across my desk. Welcome to today's show. We're going to talk about infection today. Infection, particularly one type of infection, because I think it typifies where we've got to start to bring the evolution of our perception of infection to a new front. And that infection is called Lyme disease. So much of it around. So ambiguous a diagnosis. So many ways, theoretically and literally, to go about proving that you have it. I'd say about one out of every four people that I see that are told they have Lyme disease are never tested correctly. There's lots of misconceptions about Lyme. And worse yet, people with Lyme disease that get it chronically are really on the wrong path. There's a special use for classic allopathic infectious disease medicine with antibiotic therapy that's absolutely critical in the early stages of Lyme. Critical to be done correctly, not incorrectly. Critical to be done at the high dose level in the acute phase of Lyme. But what happens to a lot of people is they don't get it in the high dose in the initial stage. It goes chronic, and then the misconception is you're going to get it by going after it with the chronic use of antibiotic therapy. And those unfortunate people that have gone down that path suffer for years. So we've got a lot to cover today. Put on your thinking caps. But it's not just about Lyme. That's the concept here. Today's show is not just about Lyme disease. It's about bringing your perception of what we call infectious disease to another level. Now, the guy that tried to do this is a gentleman. He's a microbiologist, very well credentialed. He's a professor. His name is Paul Ewald, E-W-A-L-D. And Paul Ewald, a number of years, wrote a great book that I read years ago called Plague Time. And what Plague Time was saying is tons of diseases that we think are just, well, the cell goes screwy. Cancers, autoimmune diseases are really infections. Heart disease is really infection. And this, of course, was proportional to the improvements in technologies. When we biopsy organ tissue with more and more powerful electron microscopes and better staining techniques, better diagnostic techniques, we found that if we looked, we found all sorts of devious little infections there that we never thought were there. And off this, a lot of the microbiologists started to theorize, speculate, in some cases prove that a lot of what we call just plain old, say, heart disease was really an infection, or renal failure was really an infection at the root of it. That's still up for grabs. There's still a ton of debate about that. One thing about infection, and this is going to parallel wisdom given to us 150 years ago. So we're going to go way back in time to look at the history of infection. But one thing about infection, when you have diseased tissue, infection loves to live there. So it's the cart horse problem. When Ewald wrote the book and talked about cancer as an infection and different types of ailments, heart disease as an infection, autoimmune disease as an infection, was he simply just noting that infections found at the site, viruses, bacteria, parasites, are found at the site of infection, or were they really causative? And of course, this is still up in the air. We're going to run with that concept today as it relates to Lyme disease. But to get technical, or to get, I should say, let's stick conservative for a while. Those of you who are not familiar with Lyme, yes, it's a bacteria that's transmitted through a tick bite. And that tick is a deer tick, a black-legged deer tick. And it often, not always, it often makes some sort of a red spot, which classically is a bullseye. And you'll see pictures of it in a moment. Well, classically, it's a bullseye, but not always. So right from the beginning, Lyme is vague. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Where it lives, where it goes, and what it does is so variable, it is endlessly confusing to the people that have it and the doctors that try to work with it, cure it, create therapy, even create diagnosis for it. So one thing about Lyme, it's transmitted by a tick, the deer tick. That's not all ticks. There's many types of ticks. You'll see in a moment on the site, I've put pictures of the deer tick as opposed to other types of ticks that aren't known to transmit Lyme disease. But classically, you get it from a deer tick, and classically, it creates some type of redness in the initial phase. Most of the time, it'll create symptoms. Those symptoms will be fatigue, maybe joint pain, listlessness. You know something's wrong with your body. Eventually, if it's not taken care of, it goes into deeper tissues. It goes into the organs. The thing about Lyme is it's a morpher. It's like phantom. And this is where modern understanding of microbes, reflecting ancient understanding of microbes, and I'll explain in a moment, is kind of cutting edge over the last 15 years. Lyme morphs. What you think Lyme is, it's not. Where you think it is, it's not. The minute you hit it where it is, it moves somewhere else. There's lots of places to hide in the human body. So Lyme will go from the blood, where obviously it starts out. When you get a tick bite, that means Lyme is starting out in your blood. Now, where it goes from your blood can be extremely variable. It can go to the joints. It can go to the nervous system. It can ultimately end up in every cell of the body. It can invade many organs. And if you look at the lists later on, you're going to see lists and lists and lists of all the ways this thing can attack, which makes it very confusing and very depressing for people who have gone where? Gone into the chronic stages. This is where prevention is so important. You guys out there in the holistic community, this is something you don't mess with holistically. Initially, you don't mess with it holistically. You think you get Lyme, you do the tests, the doctor says you have Lyme, you take the antibiotics and take the antibiotics in large dosages. Take aggressive antibiotic therapy. And you know what? If you're relatively healthy and you catch it early within the first month and your IgMs, I'll get into the tests later on. I don't want to spend too much time on the tests because you can get that information anywhere. But you got to get it early. That's in the first month or so. And you got to be relatively strong. In other words, your terrain, hint, hint, your terrain has to be all ready for the organism. In other words, your terrain has to be all ready to kill the organism. Your terrain has to be in a place where the organism can't thrive too long. And if it's not, this is what happens. If it's not, it gets the edge on you. If it gets the edge on you, it's given time then to start to go and hide. That's when Lyme goes chronic. Now, the problem with chronic is now it's starting to do something that you'll see cited in many of the articles that I'll be putting up. Once it goes chronic, it starts to swap genes. It starts to mutate within itself. Now, this is something that surprised microbiology. They weren't used to these microorganisms creating new strains of themselves in response to the environments that we threw at it. So you can throw your antibiotics at it. And if the antibiotics don't really get it, if your body's not strong enough in combination with the antibiotics to take it out, it gives it enough time to start to recombine genetically. And I'll show you articles where that's just considered sacrosanct now. That's not considered any big news about Lyme. Lyme morphs all the time. It swaps its own genes internally. Or who knows what. Another thing Lyme does is it buries itself in all sorts of snot piles we call biofilms. Biofilm is just a loose term for mucus. It's a mucopolysaccharide sac that at a certain point will provide an armor, a shield, so that the infection, if it's even the infection it was, you don't really know what's in a biofilm. A biofilm can simply be an agreement of multiple corporations of infection in the body that all come together to shield themselves in a big community where they synergize their relationships to protect themselves against you. It's you versus the biofilm. Once Lyme has gone into the chronic biofilm stage, you have big trouble. And that's what you see out there. That's kind of what's made Lyme famous. If Lyme were simply a slam dunk, you get the tick bite, you go to the doctor gives you the ELISA test and then the Western blot. He looks at your IgGs, your IgMs. Your IgMs are your acute phase antibody. Your IgGs are your chronic. In that first month or two, your IgMs are going to go way up. Then your IgGs are going to follow. And the clinical picture supports the blood work. And maybe you even had the rash. You got Lyme. If that's all it took, and for many people, that's all it takes. People get Lyme. Lyme is not the scourge for a fairly healthy person. But there's a ton of people that do not meet the demand. And that's going to surprise you, because that doesn't mean sick, old, frail, dying people. It means young people. It means a certain type of a person who presents with a terrain that that microbe is going to capitalize on, and I'll get more specific. There's certain things I have seen in 20 years, tons of people suffer with chronic Lyme, and they stay suffering. And I do this show today because I don't really think they ever get the right perspective, the right handle on it. So I speak especially to those of you who suffer from chronic Lyme. And of course, then all the romance of the other infections, the Babesia, the Bartonella, and all these Lyme co-infections. And, you know, if you study medicine, you see these spiralings or these blossomings of knowledge about these, you know, to microbiologists, cool new diseases, not so cool for you, that have many layers to them, tons of levels of understanding, many approaches, and then all of a sudden it's this massive syndrome that collapses on your back. All because you haven't been well schooled in some very basic fundamental principles. So this is the thing about Lyme. Lyme typifies the new infection. It's understood as a microorganism that thinks. A microorganism that morphs, that swaps genes. Not just Lyme does this, Epstein-Barr does this, chlamydia does this. You want to know something? Cancer does this. Organisms think. Cancer is a living, dynamic organism. Borrelia is a living, dynamic organism. You're playing chess. You have an entity inside you.